You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always be part of the conversation. Call or text. The number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we'll be talking to Civic Media sports guru slash sports authority slash guy who drives all over the country. Mike Clemens will be here talking specifically about the Packers draft, which we're very interested in hearing what the Packers did this year for the draft, as well as some Brewers news and maybe if there's anything to share about the Bucks. But yeah, we'll have Mike on in a little bit. That'll be great. And then we'll be capping everything off with Nightcap, where we wrap up the show and figure out what we have learned this evening. But again, you can always be part of the show. Drop a line. Let us know what you're thinking. Love to hear from you, especially about the question of the night. Let's restate that question right here, right meow. What is the scariest, what is your scariest movie monster? Go ahead, drop a line, give us a call, let us know. What monsters from the movie scares you the most is our question of the night. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, we are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also call, text, leave a voice message. You can listen, get your news on the Civic Media app. So download that right now. It's absolutely free. See what I did there? Absolutely free, Pete. See?
How much does it cost, though? That's my question.
So. That, well, it's only, it's okay, so it's usually $275 million for a download, but this week alone, we're running a special.
Free sale? So, oh, nice.
Free. And by the way, that pity laughter from my joke was Mr. Pete Schwabba up in Marinette, Wisconsin, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA, and all the way over in Madison on the ones and twos at Civic Media HQ is Mr. Dom Lee, fan of the Big Arch.
Thanks for introducing me like
He's
that.
He's got other qualities too, but that is definitely the most prominent one I think we've learned about Dom.
That's the one we're going to try to market. Like, we're going to get some free food from somebody someday. That's why I got into radio.
I have to tell you guys, before we move on to text or movie club, our compadre, senior producer Tucker Ligursky, asked a question. Do you guys know, this is pertaining to our conversation right before the news, the name of the Little Caesar mascot?
Isn't it Caesar?
I think it's Caesar, yeah.
Little Caesar. Well done. Nothing gets by you guys. I actually Googled it.
Did you know that the owner of Little Caesar paid for Rosa Parks' apartment until she died?
He did?
Like, what? she was broke and she, no, it was a he. He did. Okay. And when he found that out, he just paid for her apartment.
Oh,
he paid for her house.
So, man. That makes me want to go out and buy a Detroit style tonight. Dom, are you in?
Yep, that's why you eat. That's why you eat Little Caesars. That's why you do it.
You said something very important I want to also reiterate, too. We do have our movie club announcement for this week. It is the Martin Scorsese 1990, not bonkers gangster film at all, Goodfellas. That movie is bonkers. That movie is bonkers. Starring the, sorely missed Mr. Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, the sorely missed Mr. Paul Sorvino, who I think he won an Oscar for that. No, I don't think he won an Oscar for that. Point is, we'll be watching it on Thursday. Second hour, as always, we'll be going into the movie club, talking about the movie, trivia, thoughts, ideas, play some clips that are heavily redacted because it's a very sweary movie. But if you have a movie that you'd love for us to watch, you can always email us, nightlight@civicmedia.us. You can also send us thoughts on guests. You can send us thoughts on subjects. But get in touch with us by emailing nightlight@civicmedia.us. And get in touch. Be a part of the family. We'd love to hear. We don't hear from you anymore. You don't come over anymore.
We never talk anymore.
You know, you never call. You never call.
You never call. So you sounded like Lorraine Bracco when you said that in that voice, Greg.
Oh, I love her in that movie. I love her too. I love her in that movie. So, all right, so the question of the night, what movie monster scares you the most? Let's start with the text line, Pete. What do we have from the people on the text line, Dom?
We have, let's start off with Monica from Mount Horeb says, can't decide between Pinhead from Hellraiser, the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers, or the guy from Saw.
That's awful. Yeah, he's bad.
The problem with Jigsaw from Saw is that I've seen so many parodies now of Jigsaw that he's no longer scary. He's just funny to me. And also, there's that scene where, like, one of the movies, I've never seen any, but he's, like, riding a tricycle. I'm like, well, am I supposed to be afraid of that? Like, I can kick that across the football field. Why am I afraid of that thing? But, yeah, now I just see parodies of Jigsaw everywhere. So I'm like, that's adorable.
Yeah.
And we also Al from Madison said, when I was a kid, it was either Creature from the Black Lagoon or that movie Gargoyles, which I've never seen. I've never seen Gargoyles.
I've never seen that either. The Creature from the Black, anything below the surface of water is horrifying. And the Creature from the Black Lagoon is a good one. Also, the movie Crawl that came out a few years ago with Barry Pepper, where that alligators were everywhere because there was flooding. And that was creepy too.
Do you guys, maybe still now, but, you know, it could have been more when you were a kid. Like, if you went swimming in a lake, you still were like, oh, what's below? Is there a shark? Yeah. Is there some, what's that touching me? It's just some, like, you know, lake weed. It's not seaweed because it's not the sea, it's just lake.
I was so freaked out. I used to say someone conceivably could have thrown a shark into this water and it could live long enough to bite me before it dies because there's no salt water. Like, those are games I played in my head.
Wow.
Chicks love me.
Oh my god, that was so funny, Dom. What else have some other ones
we have a few more. We have Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids said the orange blob thing with the wispy tuft of fur on its head that appears briefly for a jump scare in the movie Melania. Not that I see it.
Melania, you meant Melania. There, Tyler?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good or try. In Home Alone 2, I think he was in as well.
He was, Oh, man.
Forced his way out.
We also, let's see what else we got. Don't know who's texting in here, but used to work at Domino's. They haven't changed the recipe since 2010. So
okay. Well,
it's working for them.
Yeah, it's working for them. We also have Nick from Marshall saying Sully from Monsters, Inc., which that is true. Sully is scary.
Really? You think Sully is? You never seen Monsters, Inc.? I thought you had kids.
I do, but I for whatever reason, that one got by us somehow.
Interesting. That's a really fun movie. Monsters Inc., Monsters University, and the TV show. They're all fun. They're really fun. I mean, it's a good time. Mm-hmm. And I saw one more from John at the latest one.
John from Columbia County said, thanks for making me laugh. Oh.
John from Columbia County, you're welcome.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah, that's what we're here for, baby.
We're trying to do some drama here, but apparently... John thought it was funny. Okay, John, whatever. No. Thank you, John.
Our whole interview about Digger's Hotline, he was just guffawing on the floor.
Just laughing at the idea of people being electrocuted.
What do we have on the Facebook there?
We've got quite a few. Mike on Facebook says, not your typical monster. Actually, a person who does monstrous things, actor Neil McDonough. The guy always creeps me out.
Oh, yeah.
He's the real blue eyes, right?
Real blue eyes, super blonde hair. He always plays, like, he was on the, I think it was fourth season of Justified. He was, like, one of the main baddies, and he was just horrifying. He was so weird and so psychotic. He's great.
He is a really good actor, and Mike says he always creeps me out. I think it's his eyes. I'm told he's a great guy in real life, but on the screen, he's not someone you want to cross. That's true. He's also the guy, interesting fun fact, he will not kiss another woman.
Yeah, and he did say something in an interview recently that he said he lost a bunch of work because of that. And it's like,
yeah,
really? Like every script
you... for him. Yeah. I can't remember who it was, but I respect that. Yeah, I look at it as a reason to kiss someone else and get paid for it, and it's okay. But, you know, to each other.
I have absolutely no opinion on this whatsoever. I love my wife. So... No.
Daniel on social media responds to Mike, and he says the guy is a devout Christian and won't even do a kissing scene in his movies because he loves his wife that much. Okay. I think he also started turning down villainous movie roles. He does play a good villain, though. Ian says, did not maintain a loneliness of command difference with his NCOs and froze when he had to make difficult decisions. I don't see it as a character defect. He certainly went on to be a very successful lawyer and DA. I don't know who I is. Maybe still talking about Neil McDonough. I think that was a response to a response, but
don't know.
Kind of got off on a tangent there. But thank you, Ian. Amanda says the monster from It really messed me up for a couple decades. I've never seen It.
It's true.
With the Tim Curry one? You never saw the TV?
I never saw that one, no.
Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, like, yes, the Pennywise that's been created in the past, like, 5 years is definitely, it's designed to be terrifying. But the thing about Tim Curry's Pennywise is that while it does look scary, it could be a clown you see at a circus until it opens its mouth. But yeah, the original TV, the two-part TV, remember that, Pete, back in the day, TV miniseries or made-for-TV movies, like movie of the week? Yeah, it was like, oh my gosh, that was a thing, Dom, that like it was tens of millions of viewers for the movie of the week or the made for TV movie or something like that.
Wow.
But that Tim Curry Pennywise is horrifying.
I got to check that out. I've still never seen it. Sarah Jean says the alien from Signs. Love that. That movie I really liked. And there were some really creepy moments in that. And she also says E.T. and Ursula from Little Mermaid. Okay. E.T. is an interesting one.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, E.T. can be very frightening if you're of a certain age. I mean, aliens are aliens, baby.
Oh, let's be honest. If you saw E.T. in real life, you'd crush him or you'd run something. You're not going to go, he's so cuddly. Yeah. Brenda says on social media, the dude from Jeepers Creepers movie with the truck that has the license plate beating you be eating you. I guess he's a cannibal. I don't know that one.
I'm not a scary movie guy. I don't know a lot of the deep dives on a lot of these movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Dan says Freddy Krueger and Jaws. Rob Martin says Valak from Conjuring gives me freaking chills. I gotta watch those movies too. Scott Tom says the idea of the Exorcist demons. Nick Wallander, very funny Green Bay resident, says the cave dwellers from The Descent.
Oh yeah.
Bill Never. On social media says Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka. Sorry, guys. I'm going to cut you off. I'm just trying to get through these.
We'll be back.
The nightcap. Andrew Brown also says Melania or how Dom pronounces it. Bologna sandwich, I think he said.
Bologna. It's pronounced Bologna. It's pronounced Bologna.
Yeah, the Dwellers from The Descent was really scary, though. I just recently watched that movie. That's up there. That's top three for me too.
Okay,
much more curse than I do. My friend Mary on my Facebook says that guy with the orange hair from Home Alone 2. There's a real winner tonight. There's a real winner on tonight's text messaging. So thank you everybody for getting in touch with us. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think if there's one that's scary for me because I don't watch horror movies. I think I would always go back to Freddy Krueger just because he was like, even though awful. He came out after Jason, I remember being, I was little. It was when the movie first came out and I was camping with my sister and her friends and they were talking about this movie in the middle of the night in the dark. And I was horrified. This notion that there's a guy who kills you in your sleep, and then they describe him like, well, I hate all of this. I want to go home right now. So Freddy Krueger, for as like old of a villain as he is, always stays in my head as terrifying, period.
No, I get it. That was brutal.
Yeah.
I said the Jaws shark, but also the shark from Deep Blue Sea, the shark on steroids. That scared the hell out of me. Very scary stuff.
Well, we'll be taking more of your thoughts. We'll be talking about those throughout the show. So please feel free to drop a line here, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. When we come back, the Sports Authority, Mike Clements here, talking all things Packers, Brewers, Bucks on Nightlight with Pete and Greg. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also always get in touch with us by getting to the Civic Media app where you can call, text, leave a voice message. You can listen to live programming, whether it's music or talk. You can also get your news. That's all right there on the Civic Media app, and it's absolutely free. And
what?
Yes, I know.
Crazy.
Like, that wasn't even my idea. I said charge everybody for it. I said, like, charge them like $200 per download. And like, that's a great way to generate cash, but no one listens to me around here. Mm-hmm. You can also always get in touch with us by emailing nightlight@civicmedia.us. That's nightlite@civicmedia.us. If you'd like to make a suggestion for the movie club or a guest or a topic, we'd love to hear from you. We are still waiting for Mike Clemens to join the show to talk all things sports. Were there any other comments on the live stream, or not on the live stream, but on the Facebook about tonight's question, which is, what monster from the movie scares you the most?
There's a couple. Ian said again, hard to beat Xenomorph. I don't know Xenomorph.
Xenomorph, that's Alien.
Oh, okay. Bill says Gene Wilder is Willy Wonka. Nick says Cave Dwellers from The Descent. Man, we got a lot. They keep rolling in, so we can probably get to these later.
Oh,
in the show.
We actually have Mike Clemens here right now. Yeah. We got Mike here. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Mike Clemens, Civic Media's Sports Authority. Good afternoon / evening, Mike. How are you doing on this Monday?
Okay, a little tired. Been a long weekend covering the draft. Just got back to my house in the Milwaukee area, but good to be on with you boys.
Wonderful. So let's start right there. Let's start with the draft. What is the big news for the Packers and any other bigger news for the NFL regarding this year's draft?
About 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon, somewhere around the fifth round, I went to Rob Domofsky, who covers the team for ESPN. We've both been doing this at least 30 years. And I said, can I ask you a question? Is this like the most boring draft we've ever covered? And he goes, right? You know, like wow. Shaking our heads because there was no pick Thursday night and a couple on Friday. The players that they're picking are like, okay, yeah, good kid. They're just peeling names off the board. You know, there wasn't like much drama to it. Mm-hmm. And there's a need to replace Malik Willis at quarterback. And so an NFL draft analyst that I talked to last week had said, Cole Payton, look for this kid out of North Dakota State, same school that Christian Watson's from. He's kind of like a Taysom Hill guy, a guy that the Packers had drafted, didn't think he would make it a quarterback. Well, Sean Payton turned into a gadget guy in the Saints, and he had a great career as a backup quarterback, a tight end, et cetera, special teams player. So right about that time, I tweeted out, you know, the emoji with a couple of eyeballs, like, hey, take a look at this. Mm-hmm. I put up Cole Payton's profile from the NFL draft because I came right around here. It'd be a chance to take a swing at this quarterback as a backup that maybe LaFleur could develop behind Jordan Love. And all of a sudden I looked up at the screen and like 2 picks later, the Eagles took him. It's like, okay, I guess that guy wasn't far off. And so no sooner than do we have this discussion about, man, this is kind of dragging, isn't it? All of a sudden it's like, hey, Packers are on the clock. No, they're not. They're not until the seventh round. They're like 50 picks. No. They traded up. Oh, jeez. So we run down to the media auditorium, and sure enough, you know, the screens are going up, the microphones are going on, and they're bringing down one of the guys from the scouting department. They traded up to take a kicker.
That was the thing that people were surprised by.
Yeah, well, that's the most surprising moment of the whole weekend. And when you look at the 6 players that they drafted, if this guy wins the job, he's most likely to be the first player of all of them that they're going to be playing. So his name is Trey Smack, a place kicker out of Florida. And so then we got a chance to talk to him after they picked him, call him down there in Gainesville and said, you know, have you had any contact with the Packers and have you ever kicked in cold weather games like Green Bay?
I grew up in Maryland, so it's not new to me, or, you know, it's always done it. You know, it's kind of how I started out kicking, is kicking in cold weather. You know, I talked to, you know, the Packers, and I talked to Coach Cam, and we talked for a good bit, and, you know, I really like his coaching style, and, you know, he's an intense guy that, you know, I'll work with, and I talked to him, and we hit it off, I think. So, I mean, now I'm here, and I'm really just excited.
That's fantastic. Well, I mean,
that's so great.
People were very surprised by that pick. And that's the thing, Mike, you say that You know, you ask your colleague if it was a boring draft. I remember, like, late last night realizing nobody's talking about the draft at all. It's just like no one's like there was no big highlight, there was no big headline, there was nothing of real, like, did you hear what happened? It was just sort of like it happened, and then we're like, all right, cool, moving on. And I think, I mean, part of it may have been the fact that for Wisconsin it was bigger last year because it was here in Wisconsin, but it just kind of felt like, yeah, it was just, it happened, we're good, and we'll see in the summertime when the season begins.
Well, the other thing too is the Packers weren't hyping it much because Brian Gutekunst, and we talked about this last week, he kept on trying to make it clear to us, I kind of already got my roster. So that's why I said going into this draft, these are all rookies, man. These are all guys that are going to go to the back of the line, except for maybe that kicker. Now, this is the other drama, though, is that you've had this veteran, Brandon McManus, the last 2 years. After the last time you tried to draft a kicker, Anders Carlson did not work out, Mr. Wide Right. So now it's like, oh, see, McManus, he had the injury to his quad. He missed 3 kicks in the playoff loss in Chicago to the Bears that cost him 7 points. That could have been the difference. So we asked Brian Gutekunst, so you give up 2 seventh-round picks to trade up and get this Trey Smack out of Florida as a place kicker. What does this mean for Brandon McManus?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about this as well as other sports going on in Wisconsin with our sports authority, Mr. Mike Clemmings. We're so happy he is joining us tonight. If you want to be part of the conversation, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. But we'll be back in just a little bit. Stay tuned. Stay close. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with the program when you call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Also, get in touch, call, text, leave a voice message, listen on the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free, my friends, so that's great ways to get in touch with us. Love to have you be part of the program. We are talking to our friend, sports authority, Civic Media sports guru, Mike Clemmings is here talking all things Wisconsin sports, and we were talking about the NFL draft for this year, which took place this past weekend, and Mike, you were saying it was a rather boring affair. Is there anything else that happened, anything of great interest, or is it just like, well, that's everything you talked about? That's pretty much it.
First of all, the draft is always great because it's a bunch of guys that have been trying for 10, 12 years to get to this point and to get through high school football, to get a scholarship now, to get paid, to get into a college program, and then be able to look at from NFL scouts and actually get picked and now have a chance to play in the National Football League. We were talking about the kind of surprise that Brian Gutekunst made when you thought, well, maybe we'll take a running back, maybe we'll take a wide receiver, and they trade up to get a place kicker out of Florida, this Trey Smack. And boy, the gift shop at Lambeau Field's going to enjoy selling that jersey, right? Smack for a kicker.
Smack is better than doink. You can use that, Mike.
I sent Dom a cut here of Brian Gutekunst, the GM, where we said, well, that's kind of awkward. I mean, you know, you got the veteran, 35, 36-year-old Brandon McManus, who kind of saved the day overall for the last year and a half until the injury, until the playoff game against the Bears. So what does this mean for Brandon McManus now that you've used a draft pick and traded up to get this rookie?
That's interesting. Mike, sticking with the draft, let's talk about, I want to ask you about a couple of their draft picks, but also let's look to the NFC North. The Bears got an A- on their draft, which I totally disagree with. Lions also got an A-, and the Vikings got a B. How did those teams become more competitive? How would you measure the Packers draft up against with their prime competitors?
To be honest, I still haven't gotten through the Packers draft, even though they just took 6 players. The Vikings made some moves, though, in terms of their defense, the Greenlaw going on, where they traded him, that has really got people kind of scratching their heads. And so I've got to sort of sift that out. What the Packers did, though, you know, they did fill some needs that they had because they lost Rashawn Gary. And that's one of the biggest questions is a guy was a former number one pick out of Michigan and was on his way to a pretty good season. It doesn't add up why suddenly he wasn't getting any quarterback sacks after Micah Parsons went down with the torn ACL, unless that meant that teams are spending so much time focused on Parsons, that's how Rashawn Gary was getting his opportunities. And once Parsons was off the field, then they were figuring out ways to take out Rashawn Gary out of plays. You couldn't get it out of the Packers as this was going on as to what happened to this guy. And, well, he's making some mistakes. He's trying. But he's no longer with the team. They traded him to the Cowboys. They traded Quay Walker, another first-round pick. He left in free agency, got a huge deal out of Vegas, the Raiders, Romeo Doubs. But they have filled these needs with either guys they've picked up now in free agency or with some of these picks. Their first pick in the second round is Brandon Cisse, a defensive back out of South Carolina, who's actually got a former Packer that's out there in that program as a player development guy. Clinton Haha Dix, a former Packer and Bear safety. He's been out there coaching the kid up. So he was their first pick. He's young. He'll be a project, 20, 21 years old, but very athletic. Then they helped out the defensive line with a Chris McClellan out of Missouri, the Tigers. That's a program that's on the rise. The player that the Packers were excited about, they couldn't believe was still on the board starting Saturday. They tried to trade up to get him Friday night. Couldn't do it. His name is Denai Dennis Sutton, number 33 for Penn State. Same school that Parsons is from. As a matter of fact, I won't be surprised if somewhere we'll start calling this guy Mini Micah. I mean, he looks like Micah Parsons when he was back in Penn State. 40-plus tackles the past 2 years in a row, 8 quarterback sacks, 10 tackle for losses, 3 block punts last year. 3 block punts. That ties the record that Jack Ham, the Steelers Hall of Famer, set back in the day. And 7 forced fumbles. And they got this number 33 who's all over the field to add to edge for their new defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon. So those are some of the things that the Packers are excited about. One other thing that we learned about last week, guys, is this. You got a new sheriff in town. You got a new president, new CEO, Ed Policy. And he's a lot different than Mark Murphy in terms of how much publicity he does. You know, I was with them on the tailgate tour. Whereas Mark Murphy, the former CEO and president, would be out there as the MC, talking to the kids at the high school, introducing the players that they brought along on the bus, handing out the checks. Ed was off, stage right. It was just the players on the stage. He was there to observe. Matter of fact, I don't know if he was there for the whole tour because he's got a lot going on with construction and things going on. They're expanding the equipment department. The training staff so that you never have to wait if you're a player to get taped up. And they built us a new media center. I got a new office at Lambeau.
Oh, nice.
They just kicked off. I can go on and on. So it's very busy. The people there in the hallways, you're just like, I got to go to this meeting. I mean, everybody is running around. And the big question that Ed did, he did do a Zoom last week and saying, all right, a lot of people thought after losing 5 games in a row and not getting to the next level of the playoffs, it was time to fire Matt LaFleur. And this was Ed Policy's answer as to why he kept Matt LaFleur for a contract extension. Ed Policy, the Packers' new CEO and president. And Pete and Greg, there's one other thing that Ed talked about I thought was very interesting as he turns the page and takes over for Mark, and that is the threat that they feel they're under financially. And you're, again, I can see Packer fans saying, come on, they got a 30-year waiting list. It's the NFL. It's a multi-billion. These teams are worth, you know, $9 or $10 billion. What is what? And he says, this is what I'm up against now. He said, you know, Green Bay, of course, very unique with the shareholders and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they're starting to see NFL teams doing what the NBA has done. And so, like, I don't know, a guy like Jerry Jones could say, you know what? I can let in a partner for 5% in the worth of the team. That's $250 million. $300,000, $400,000. You want to build a new building, a new office building, a new training facility that will attract free agents, that will help your team, help your players. They just let in some guy, they give him a suite, and, you know, make him a part of the club, part of the family, and he can't compete with that. So he did an interview with a sports journal where he said, they misquoted me. I did not say I'm selling the naming rights to Lambeau Field, but I am saying there's other ways that we got to find revenue streams, because that's what I'm up against in the league right now.
What are there any revenue streams they are currently entertaining then, if they can't do certain things? Like, are they not allowed to bring in any sort of minority? Like they sell the stocks, and that's a great way of making money and people hang it on their wall, and that's great. But can they, or are they allowed to sell any sort of, like, 2-3% stock in the team to help bring in revenue, or is that just absolutely not on the table?
Yeah, they can't. They can't do like what some of these other private owners. He said, "Listen, yeah, you know, everybody talks about our salary cap in the NFL. It's a soft salary cap. It doesn't cover what you pay coaches.
Yeah.
It doesn't cover what you pay in signing bonuses. So, you know, it limits what Russ Ball, their finance guy, and their GM can do when it comes to signing these contracts with players. But there's a whole lot of money. And, again, these teams, they're not just owned by, like, George Halas, you know, football guy. They're owned by billionaires with a lot of free time on their hands. You know?
Yeah.
It's like
right.
It's like the yacht races in Cape Cod. And they will throw hundreds of millions of dollars at a problem, at a new stadium, at a new club, those kinds of things, that at the end of the day gets more and more competitive, not only on the football field or the basketball court, et cetera, but here's another thing that I learned too. The Brewers, you know how the Brewers dropped FanDuel TV and now they had to scramble and come up with their own MLB, mm-hmm. you know, base, Brewers yeah. TV until they figure out what's next. They lost $20 million in revenue. And so, you know, one analyst said, that seems like a drop in the bucket for these teams, right, if they're worth $5 billion. And Mark Antanasio is here to tell you, okay, think of your house. Let's say you got a $300,000 house, and all of a sudden your furnace goes. You may even own your house. That's still $15,000, $20,000 you got to spend on a new HVAC. Where's that mm-hmm. coming from? That's what it feels like. $20 million, that could be what their grounds crew budget is.
Yeah,
or think of how many $100,000 a year employees that's going to cost.
Well,
and you can see things tightening up around the baseball park in Milwaukee after losing that $20 million. Little things here and there.
Well, if there's one thing that we all know about Mark Antanasio and the Brewers, that $20 million absolutely does make a difference. I mean, we're not talking about a $300 to $350 million payroll team here. We're talking about a team that regularly comes at or below the average, but it is an apt description. And I mean, I'll be interested. I don't know about Pete, but I'll be very interested to see what they do to bring up that money. Like, if they need more money, how they're going to do it then in this situation.
Yeah. So in the meantime, they're being savvy with the way they pick players, and they like this Kyle Harrison. They like this David Hamilton, who can play third base, can play shortstop, great speed around the bases. They picked them up from the Boston Red Sox, and they send Caleb Durbin, who'd won the third base job last year in Milwaukee, pretty good hitter. Caleb goes to Boston. He goes like 1-for-17 at the plate. You know, Harrison strikes out 12 batters yesterday when they beat the Tigers 5-0. The Red Sox just fired their manager and their entire coaching staff after
oh
that
goodness.
Trade.
With the Brewers. We'll have to pick up the Brewers action next time you're on, though. Thank you so much, Mike, for being here. We really appreciate your time, as always.
Okay, guys. Have a good night.
You too. That was Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Authority, sports guru, our buddy, talking all things Packers and a little bit Brewers. But when we come back, it's going to be time for the nightcap, reading your messages about the question of the night. What monster is the what monster from the movies is scares you the most? And we'll also be figuring out what we learned here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's time to wind it down. Let's take a moment to look back and ask, what did we learn today? This is Nightcap with Greg and Pete.
Welcome back to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Network with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach. Pete is all the way up in Marinette, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA. Down the coast is me, Greg Bach, in Radio Park in Racine. And then all the way over, completing the Yadirhe Triangle, is Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos at HQ for Civic Media. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We appreciate you listening and or watching because we are streaming on the internet. Have you guys heard about this internet? It's all the rage.
Listen, it's here to stay.
It's here to stay.
I fought it. Yeah.
A series of tubes that are going nowhere. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Tomorrow is going to be a very, very good show. In the first hour, we're going to be speaking with Professor Gulnar Nikpour about Iran. She is a scholar of Iranian history, and she'll be here talking about her book and specifically about the things that we as Americans in American consumption of media don't understand or know about what's going on in Iran right now. But that'll be all tomorrow in the first hour. Plus, great topics. We'll be talking about the news and whatnot and taking your calls and taking your text messages. But that'll be all for you tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Lots more coming up. Even after the show is done here, great programming happening. So stick around. And what else we got? It was a good show, guys. It was a good show.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed myself.
Let's start here. We're going to read the last of the comments from the text line for the question of the night. What monster from the movie scares you most? You can still call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. Love to hear from you. Dom, what do you got?
We got Chris from Sun Prairie saying, scariest monster is Jaws. I still won't go farther than shin deep in the ocean, which
wow, Jaws, okay.
It's a popular answer so far tonight.
Okay.
Have John Murray from Madison said, Gene Wilder, comic and an acting genius, was confused by that fear. Okay.
Okay. There's parts of that movie that are terrifying. The tunnel scene, oh my God, as a child, terrified me in Willy Wonka.
And then
what else we got there?
Yeah, Dom? He also said Jack Nicholson as Johnny. He's a monster.
That's a good one.
Happy belated birthday to Jack Nicholson. We were talking about him last week.
Even had the monster.
Happy birthday, Jackie.
Love you, Jack.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all we got.
All right.
He said John also said even had the monster limp for a while.
I don't. Okay. Is he talking about? I guess
Nicholson.
That was.
I was thinking
Gene Wilder, that limp when he comes out of the building and the cane gets stuck in the floor and he turns. Okay,
I thought he was talking about Nicholson. Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, hey, they both had limps. So
absolutely.
Good acting from both those actors.
Stacey Sue on the stream says, she saw Michael over the weekend.
Mm.
She thought it was great. That movie, okay. Love Him or Hate Him, crushed and set records at the box office. So
yeah, it's almost like it was a huge distraction or something. I don't know.
What do you know? We've got someone with the coolest name ever on social media, Billy Dave Armchair. If that is your real name.
This is like a 70s country artist.
He says the shadow demons from Ghost still kind of.
Oh, those are horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. And then we've got Jason Jenich, the black oil slick from Creepshow 2. I don't know that one either.
My friend Jason, one of my dearest buddies of all times. We worked together at Casio Music back in the day. I've known him for a long time, long, long time.
I got some on
my Facebook page. See my friend Ben, who I went to the show with on Friday, Biff Tannen from Back to the Future. I know not quite what you're looking for. But that's the best I could do as a non-scary movie watcher.
Love Biff Tannen. Biff is awesome.
Victoria says, anything gory. I hate gore and jump scares. They freak me out. I avoid scary movies. You and me, sister. Jim says, Satan. simple, to the point.
Okay.
Mary says, for me, it's big eye gray aliens. I have clear memories of being terrified they were going to come through my bedroom window and abduct me. Jeez, and then two more left for me. Tony Clements, no relation to Mike Clemens, different last name. Joan Crawford in 1970s Trog. And he attached a poster and
Wow,
that is weird. And then finally, Leah says, the moment when Linda Blair in The Exorcist bent over backwards and twiddled down the stairs backwards. Oh, my.
That's creepy. Yeah.
Very.
Blair's a good one.
Thank you, everyone, for getting in touch with us, texting, calling, leaving a comment on the live stream. We love hearing from you. You are part of this show. Without you, they don't exist. It's great. I'll probably say that in a little bit as well. But before we get out of here, folks, Pete, what did you learn tonight?
I learned that I can rat on my neighbors thanks to Digger's Hotline, and I fully plan to do so. I'm going to start making some citizens' arrests and use that to my advantage. And I learned that Mike Clemens is one of the hardest working guys in radio. Good stuff.
I feel like this is going to be an act out of what's going to happen. It's going to be like, Mr. Clemens, we've told you this is Digger's Hotline, not Tattletale Land. All right. Stop telling on your neighbors.
You want Thank Crime you. Stoppers. Yeah.
You want Crime Stoppers. Dom, what did you learn?
I learned that Mike Clemens now has a beautiful office in Green Bay. Yeah, I had no idea about that, but that's really
deserved
cool.
It.
Really cool.
Thank you, the Packers. Yeah. Now I know where I can go when I want to go see a Packers game for free. I can be like, I'm media for Civic Media, and I'll just take Mike's office right now. Thank you very much. So
the Clemens.
Castle Clemens. I also learned, as far as Digger's Hotline, like I just, because I want to do some landscaping work over the next few months in my backyard and front yard, and I'm going to call Digger's Hotline to make sure, because even those small little hits with trowels, you never know. You never know. So
totally.
I will be making that call. So thank you very much to Chad Kruger and Mike Clemens, our guests tonight. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you being here. As always, on behalf of Pete, I want to thank Dominic. I want to thank Tucker, Traffic and Engineering, for all the work they do. They make sure the microphones are turned on and these things all work for us. Everyone who called, text, left a comment, left a whatever, sent us an email, been a part of the show. We appreciate you. Without you, there is absolutely no us. Again, tomorrow, we will be speaking to Golnar Nikpur. Thank you. Golnar Nikpur, about all things Iran, specifically her new book and the things we do and do not get right when it comes to our assumptions of Iran as a country and the people itself. So that's all tomorrow. And then, as always, if you want to get in touch with us, nightlight@civicmedia.us, nightlight@civicmedia.us. Send us a movie idea, guest idea, subject idea. We'd love to hear from you. But for now, we're going to get out of here. Stick around. There's still great programming after we're done. But for this moment, Pete, say goodnight to the people.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.